Well, well, well. Bonjour, motherfuckers. Bam. And you say, goddamn, this is a dope jam. I'm broad. I am broader than Broadway. Come on and join me. Yes, I'm broad. I said I'm brown. Said I'm a broader than Broadway. And I'm a diddling myself. And it feels so good. Your sauce will mix with ours and we'll make a good goulash, baby. Oh yeah, what time is it? It's time for Get Wood with your friend Jess Wood. Desert Edition. Hi everyone, welcome. Hola motherfuckers and bonjour and all that. Ooh, look at all the good looking babes out on the chat there. Hey now, say now, what's your host been? Where is this delightful lady? Oh, she's in the southwest of America. That's right. I am just, first off, before I get started, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has sent me a message, called me, texted me, put a thing on the things with the socials and the stuff. If you don't know, now you know, hit it. If you don't know, Biggie, my papa, the maybe daddy, the dude in Arizona, he passed away on Tuesday last. That's right. That's why he didn't see me last Tuesday, because I was in the air. I was flying, and he was dying. What? Bitch, stop it. That's right. I just, I really am grateful to everybody who sent me any kind of messages or anything. And I really appreciate it. And it was so fucking weird. I mean, death is already weird, right? Death, it's a part of life. Everything is impermanent, the Buddha and all that, right? We can talk about it, but then when it really happens to you and you're sitting in it, it's very different. And it can be so complicated. But I'm just going to talk you through a few things that went down since I last saw you. Now, remember, the last time I saw you, I had asked somebody to meet me for soup and a makeout. Whoa! Soup and a makeout, two bits. Look at that. I'm telling you, there's ghosts all around, and I don't really have a lot of control over the ghosts and their actions. I promise you, I was pushed out of the bed the other night, and I think it was him, you know, dead. Anyway, hello, and welcome back to the show. It's a little wonky because I don't have my normal equipment with me, but darn it, we're going to make it work, Stuart Smiley. So last time we talked, I was going to make out and have soup with a gentleman. And it happened. I had soup. We had about three sips of the soup before we started the making out. And then he just whispered in my ear, "Let's get naked." And I was like, "I'm so down for that." And I actually said, "I'm so down for that," which isn't the sexiest thing you can say. But you know what? Let's not judge ourselves when we're naked, you know? And then we got naked. Ooh la la Sassoon, his body, are you fucking kidding me right now? It was like a Grecian god, a Greek god, everything just in the perfect place, everything just checking out so good. It was yummy. And then he said to me, when he saw me naked, he said, "Ooh, you have a very nice figure. How old are you, sir?" This is why dating guys my own age, it gets a little funny. Anyway, oh man, he was like, "You have a nice figure." And I was like, "Grandpa?" And then we proceeded to lay the wood. He proceeded to lay the wood, me being the wood. And, just to let you know what had happened was, we ended up in the emergency room at about 2:30 in the morning that morning. I know. Shut up. It's fucking hot. When you haven't had sex in a year, me, I'm looking at myself. I'm talking to myself. Jessica Wood, when you haven't had sex in a year and you put a man in the hospital, you should be proud of yourself. I think it's, I think it's a prideful thing. Also, I called the Lyft, of course. I brought him with me in the Lyft to the emergency room. Of course he's going to the, if he's in trouble, I'm taking him. Come on. We've swapped spit. What am I going to just fucking tell him to call a cab and see you later, fucking Mr. Gator? No, I am going with you and we are going to be in the ER together and we are forever bonded. No matter what you think, you're now with me forever, sir. Well, I told him that. I go, I guess we're boyfriend, girlfriend now, huh? And we started laughing. Because we're not. Anyway, it was fantastic. It was fun. It was crazy. It was scary. It was wonderful. And you know what I could do? I could use all of those same words continuing into the week of my trip to the Southwest here. It was fucking crazy. It was scary. It was wonderful. But I took the plane last Tuesday when I would have been recording with you guys. I took the plane to Arizona and I started crying on the plane. Just all of a sudden, I started crying. And I was like, whoa, I wonder if he just died. And then I found out the time of death. Fuck, man. I felt his energy. I think I felt his little spirit fly by. I think he flew by on my plane. I was like, Papa? Papa, can you hear me? And almost like that Twilight Zone episode where William Shatner sees the monster on the wing and is like, ah, is that Papa? Daddy? Daddy? And so, yeah, that had happened while I was on the plane. And I knew it was coming because when I talked to my stepmom on whenever it was, Sunday night after work, she was like, yeah, I think only 48 hours to live. Fuck, you better get on that plane, baby. So I made my plane. Well, am I shaking this thing? I got on the plane and then I knew that he died. And then when I landed in Phoenix, big shout out to Shawner, my pal Shawner, the Irish Jew McCarthy. He was a welterweight when I knew him, early 2000s when we were fucking. And but now he's just my pal. And he showed up at the fucking Phoenix airport because I had a few hours to kill before my shuttle bus. And he shows up and he's got a puppy, his new puppy called Waylon. Oh, Waylon. He came into my arms and he licked me all over my face. And then Shawner took me for a salad. Do you know they have drive-through salad places in Phoenix? I didn't trust it. Can't trust it. Meow, meow, meow. Don't trust it. But it was really good. It was called Salad to Go. And I was like, you know, I don't think so. But it was really fucking good. And I thought, I guess it's going to be good. People in Phoenix don't ever get out of their fucking cars. So everything has to be good if you're going to drive through. So there's a drive through salad place. And I was like, fucking A. And it was like $7. And, you know, coming from Brooklyn and New York and those fucking prices. I mean, in New York, that would have been $15 at least. And then they would have been like, pull your car up. Shut the fuck up. And they were like, is that okay? Did you want chicken on your Caesar salad? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want chicken. And then it was $7.50. So cheap. Anyway, I'm so schwabbly wobbly. I'm holding this phone on my own and phone on my own. And then Shawner gave me a care package and he said, here you go. This is for you to go to Jerome with. And it was a lighter and it was a joint and it was mushrooms and it was something else. And I can't remember what it was. I think a piece of candy. And I got a lot of care packages this trip and I'm really grateful. I'm like so fucking grateful for everything. Whoa. I'm not grateful for this wobbly ass fucking... I'm trying to, here's the thing, guys, stand by, there you go. I have to sneak it into like a thing. Anyway, you don't care. Let's talk more about the desert and how insane it is out here, okay? So I go to, I get my shuttle to a place called Cottonwood, but what they call, it's the valley of, because Jerome is on this mountain, it's this fucking ghost town that's from 1800s, and a bunch of hippies went there in the 60s and 70s and built back all the houses into the mountain, and it's very pretty and everything, and everybody's like, it's so magical, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, I got dragged up here as a child, and I used to hitchhike off that mountain, get me the fuck out of Dodge. And I go down to the Valley of Cottonwood, but they nicknamed it Cotton Tucky. That's right, Cotton Tucky. Because it's so fucking backwards, you can't even believe that you can leave this little town up on the hill, and drive down, not even 5 miles. I mean, it's only a couple miles away, this Cotton Tucky, and all of a sudden, everybody's in a red hat. You know what I'm talking about when I say these things. And God dang, I was scared for my life 3 different times down in Cotton Tucky, and because I'm not used to a bunch of fucking yeehaws, you know, white man in a red hat coming at you. Hey, girl. Hey, you look like you know how to cook. That's what this one fucking guy said to me. And I was like, no. And even though I am a brilliant cook and baker, pardon me for bragging, but this motherfucker, he can't. No, fuck you, dude. And let me tell you something. You know, I get so angry at people. Me and my girlfriend Rainbow, you know my friend Rainbow, big shout out to her. She was such a fucking rock here when I needed her, and she just showed right up, man. She was just right there next to me. Took me down to Cotton Tucky to donate all the dad's clothes. Because I don't know, you know, I'll back it up. Grief, it's fucking weird for everybody, and it's totally different for everybody. So there's no right way to grieve, right? And I think I was talking about this when Mama L died, and I'm gonna talk about it again with Maybe Daddy, because it's so bizarre, man. I went to that house on Tuesday night, to his house with his wife, and she, by Wednesday night, cleared out all his shit. All of it. Leave no trace. It was like Burning Man cleanup after, you know what I mean? Like, you just put it all in the hefty bags and get it the fuck out of there. So on Wednesday, Rainbow was sweet enough to pack all that shit in the back of her car. And I was like, let's get it the fuck out, though. Like, you can't just have that shit hanging out in your car. So we go down to Cotton Tucky and we go get a burrito at Juanita's, which Juanita, rest in peace to my old kitty cat. And, you know, it's Mexican owned. Oh my God, I put on the Do Not Disturb. Don't give it down that. Hey, I put on a Do Not Disturb. Anyway, we're in Juanita's, and one of the ladies who works there is cleaning up, and this white guy comes in, and he goes, hey. And she goes, hey, how you been? But he says back to her, how you been or how have you been? I'll burn this whole place to the ground. Well, not Juanita's, but I'll take you outside, sir, and I will fucking put you in the traffic. Are you out of your fucking mind? And so she says, because she's a brilliant, you know, woman who has to fucking probably deal with all these bullshit racist white men, she goes, how you doing? Oh, God bless her. But then when he came and talked to me and Rainbow, and he tried to fucking get all like flirty and weird in a fucking sexist, horrible way, and we yelled at him and told him, get the fuck out of there and get away from it. No, get away from our table, okay? We're not talking to you. We don't like you. And then I told her, hey, I don't like the way he talked to you either. And she was like, thanks. But, you know, I'm sort of some sort of activist in Cotton Tucky, and I got to be careful because I could get killed down there and no one would care. They're like, fucking commie. She's a witch, burn her. And even up in Jerome, I met the police chief, and he said, oh, I would say I was friends with your dad. And in my head, I'm thinking, no, you weren't, copper. You fucking cop, you fucking pig, you fucking fucker. My dad was a big stoner, and he did a big fucking, he was doing illegal shit up there. So suck it, copper. But I didn't say that. My stepmom said, this is Jessica, Bryce's daughter. She's here from New York City. And he said, New York City? And I said, get the rope! And then everybody laughed. And I was like, we got to move away from this goddamn copper. I mean, even though, you know, in Jerome, I suppose the cops are cool because they're not busting anybody for anything. I mean, I was up there and everybody was just fucking toking, smoking, drinking, linking up in the park. What? Did I tell you about Jerome, Arizona? It is the teeny little ghost town on the top of the northern tip of the mountain between Prescott and Sedona, with Cotton Tucky in between. And, they had a High Times magazine full front page whole town busted for pot. And it was the Jerome postcard because they were in on it. The mayor, the chief, the police chief. This is in the 80s. This wasn't this fool that I met this time. But still, okay. So now they're really leaning into the ghost town thing. And I think I told you. But the weekend that I came, this last weekend, I didn't know that it was the 125th year of their incorporation of the town. So guess what? He died and it was a party. So isn't that fucking wild? That's just how life is. If you pay attention close enough, there is some dark shit happening and some beautiful shit happening at the same time. Ooh, little finger bang. Shoo-da-boo-ba-boo, two in the pink and one in the stink. How do you do, Jerry Garcia? I was leaving early Tuesday morning, and my friends had gone out the night before, my beautiful roommate and her gorgeous girl, and they left me the most awesome note and that I woke up to, and it mentioned something about yin-yang and the balance and the light and the dark. And guess what? Shawner, when he picked me up at the Phoenix with the dog, he said the same fucking thing. Then when Rainbow picked me up in Cotton Tucky from the shuttle bus, she said the same fucking thing. So guess what? It's all in alignment if you pay attention. Yeah. There's some sad ass stuff going on, but also there's some beautiful, beautiful shit going on. Ow! I know. Wild, right? So again, no right way to grieve, but here I am. I showed up and I went to the Safeway, is their grocery store out here. And I went with, Rainbow took me to Safeway when she picked me up at the shuttle bus in Cotton Tucky. And we go to Safeway and I buy like $75 worth of groceries for my stepmom because she's Jewish, I'm Jewish. When someone dies, you sit Shiva. And she doesn't really do that. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to bring her a Yahrzeit candle. Just like my auntie would say, did you bring her a Yahrzeit to burn for Bryce? And so I brought her a Yahrzeit candle. I brought her some Kadem tea biscuits from the kosher area of the supermarket, which is about yay big. Like, you know, there's no Jews in Arizona. And so there's no basement in the Alamo. And so I brought... So I brought all this food up to her place and she was like, oh my God, Jessica. And I said, we're sitting Shiva. And she said, well, I don't really sit Shiva. I said, Carol, don't even fuck with me. You sit down. I'm going to make you food. People are going to drop food off here. And that's what we got to do. Now, you don't have to sit in an uncomfortable place or cover all the mirrors. That's the rules of the Shiva, but do it how you want to do it. Again, grieving has no rules. There's no right way to do any of this shit. You do what makes you feel good. You do what you feel is comforting. And if that means you got to clear his shit get it the fuck out of Dodge, then get it goddamn out of there. If it means I got to go over there and cook food for this baby girl all day, all night, every day that I'm there, that's what I'm doing. And that's what I've been doing. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. This little woman, my stepmom, she's smaller than my pinky. And she's lost 10 pounds. Bitch, what? And because she knew he was going to die. So she's all nervous and shit. And listen, Jewish moms, oi, got to know, oi, do you have one? I've got like three. It's a lot. It is so much. Don't use that fork on that pot. Are you fucking crazy? Someone just died. Do we care about the fucking scratch on the goddamn pot? Can you live your life? But no, it's, you know, that's how people want to do it. They want to do it. So I'm going to be as, you know, helpful and as calm as I can. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't fucking take myself out of that goddamn residence a couple times and walk up and down a mountain hill breathing and doing mantras that I learned from the Deepak Chopra 21 Abundance Day goddamn thing I did before I fucking left town. Whew, I didn't know I'd be chanting on a mountain like a Hare Krishna lady, but fucking A, it helped. And that's, you know, we do what we can to help our emotions. I don't want to numb it. I wasn't going to smoke. I wasn't going to drink. I wasn't going to do any of that stuff. And you know what? God bless. If that's what you're doing to help you cope, I love you. I am not judging you. It's me I talk about. It's me I speak on. And me, oh, me. It has been the wildest adventure that I've ever seen. I also have gotten as I said, my friend Rainbow was really helpful with me. She's this fucking amazing lady. And she let me stay at her place after the first night. Because the first night I stayed in the house with my stepmom. Because, you know, she's by herself now and he's dead. And the house fucking haunted with him, man. I was like, I couldn't sleep. And he's got those paintings. You know, he was a painter and a musician and a stoner. So he really fit into Jerome's aesthetics. And no wonder the people really loved him there. And I was really joyous to hear their stories about him, actually. It was really nice for me. But to try to stay in that house haunted with those paintings everywhere, like, these are and I'm not even talking shit, this is just facts. These paintings are the type of paintings that if they were done by your child, you would actually send them to the child psychologist at school. You'd say, there's something the matter. Something's happening here that's not okay. We're going to send you to the doctor, honey. And nobody sent him to the doctor, so he just kept making these dark-ass fucking arts, and and I couldn't sleep all night, and I was like, these fucking dark arts are getting me. So thank God Rainbow took me in and let me stay at her pad. But as I said earlier in the show, one night I was at her place, and it was after I had gone and walked through Jerome and talked to a bunch of people and heard all kinds of stories about Bryce. Like, I didn't know him like that. You know, it's interesting. One of my friends said, oh, you're so compassionate. How do you get this kind of compassion? And I said, I don't know. I think it just is like helpful for my health, really. Because what I did was I just listened to the people's stories about him. You know, a lot of people didn't know he had a kid, but a lot of people did. And then I would introduce myself. Hi, I'm Jessica, Bryce's kid. And the stories that they told me, the things that they shared with me about him and what they had done together, what he had given them or helped them with or taught them. Even my ex-boyfriend, Mark, shout out to Mark from teenage years. He wrote in memoriam to my dad. He taught me how to pick the guitar, and I still know it 35 years later. Pick on, brother, you know, which I think is so sweet. And I just was taking all these things in, you know, and I was listening to all these stories. So anyway, I get back to Rainbow's house that night and I go to sleep and I get up in the middle of the night, as a lot of us older girls do, to pee. And you know what? You know me. Woo. I'm not going to apologize for it. I was sitting on her bed. I was going to put my feet over the bed to get down from the bed. Not a far drop. I didn't have any socks on. Wasn't a slippery, you know, silky, satiny fucking sheet set. Something or someone, Bryce, Dad, hello, pushed me, shoved me, like, hard from behind. And I fell out of the bed, and I knocked my head against the wall, and I sprained my thumb on the floor. Okay, motherfucker quit it. So I knew it was him. I was like, this motherfucker hates that I'm not, you know what I mean? I know it was him. It's okay. I can have the dead dad ghost come and fuck with me. That place is active as hell. Up in Jerome, it's the ghost town. So there's all kinds of ghosts up in there, and they feel comfy, and they're just hanging out, and everybody's just partying down. And so, man, it was heavy, heavy. And poor Rainbow was woken up out of her sleep. Are you okay? Oh, my God. Because there's this giant bang, and I have a huge lump on my head. My thumb is still healing up. God damn, Dad. Give me a fucking break, bro. Yeah. Shoved to the floor, to the ground, violently. Yeah. So Jerome, 125 years they've been incorporated. So they had a celebration over the weekend of their incorporation. I'm talking about a parade. I'm talking about ladies dressed like the old days, you know, with the corsets. It was very Renaissance fair to me, but with the like an old bordello, you know, with like Skanky May, and you know, they all had names like One-Eyed Jill and Lispy Leslie. You know, they all had these really weird names that were the ladies of the night in the town. Because again, I'm gonna tell you, Jerome is the wildest fucking town. It's one street. Well, now it's two because they're gentrifying, but no gas stations, no grocery stores, four bars. That's right. Because we got priorities here on the mountaintop. And I needed cigarettes one night, and I said to Rainbow, hey, Rainbow, can I still get cigarettes from the bar? Can I go buy cigarettes at the bar? Because I remember as a kid, you used to be able to buy cigarettes at the bar. And she said, no, not anymore, but we have the inconvenience store. I was like, what? And she goes, the inconvenience store. You know, I don't know when they're open, but it certainly isn't convenient. And we drove by that night and it was open. And I went up and I talked to the girl. I walked in and she goes, hi. And I said, hi. And I said, you have cigarettes? And she said, yeah. And we started talking. And she said, oh, are you visiting? Are you, from where are you from or whatever? And I said, oh, I'm Bryce's kid. And she said, oh my God. And everyone, you know, so nice. Oh my God, I'm so sorry about your dad. Oh my God. And I said, thanks. And she starts to say to me, so you're Jessica. Okay, your mom is the actress Ellen Blake. And I was like, what the fuck? How does this bitch know about my mom? Because, you know, everybody thinks Carol, my stepmom, is my mom. This chick knows. And I go, how did you know my mom's name? And she says, well, when I met your dad, I met him in the streets of Jerome, and he came up and started talking to me. Really? Cute blonde girl? And he said to me, oh, you know, I used to be married to a famous actress in Hollywood. Ew. I go, well, first of all, they were never married. And second of all, she wasn't famous. We were on welfare. But boy, oh boy, do people love to reinvent themselves however they can. Am I right? And then I told his wife, you know, I was like, hey, this chick knew my mom. And she's like, why? They were never married. And I was like, I know, bitch. I know. Anyway, what the fuck? It was just everywhere I turned, it was just wild, wild west and wild, wildness. And we went to the funeral home to deal with like the cremation stuff. And because, you know, he's an Irish, so he can get cremated. And nobody makes a joke about it. Of course, when the Jew gets cremated, I have it in my act. So we're at the funeral home and I'm, you know, I'm cracking jokes and I'm making the chick laugh. She's this young girl with a lot of eyeliner. And I said, have you ever had any Jews here before? And she goes, oh, no, never, never. I mean, it is Cotentucky, so they're, you know, we're scared. Like, Carol, my stepmom, she told me when she moved to Jerome even, she said, I can't believe I just don't wake up with a cross burning on my lawn. You like it there, huh? You want to stay? Lady. Anyway, we were down at the Cotentucky at the funeral home, and the lady asks my stepmom, so where should we send the ashes? And what would you like us to do with the ashes? And Carol, without missing a beat, she's like, no, I don't want ashes. I don't want that. Do I have to have them? Can't you guys do something with them? Would you just take them and throw them away somewhere? I mean, it was so awesome. Like the real, you know, when people just come out of their face and you're like, this is the real feel. This is no holds bar. This is how this gal feels, and let's respect what this girl. I think it was just coming for so long that she was ready to just get the fuck. You know, he was really on her last nerve. So now it's like, okay, let's get leave no trace. So very different from when my mom died, and we all got pieces of my mom's ashes, and we all were told different directions on what to do with them. God, Mom, it was like kind of exhausting when you were alive, and now it's still exhausting when you're dead. It's fucking weird. What's happening right now? So all in all, I got laid before I went to, okay, so I was gifted from the universe this beautiful man with a beautiful cock. Let's be realistic. This gorgeous arm of a dick that was just woof, and so lovely. He came back on Monday before I left and just made sweet love to me even more on the Monday because he was better. And so really, I had worked all day Sunday. Then I got made love to all day Monday. And so really, on Tuesday, I boarded the plane and I had the song in my head, my neck, my back, my pussy and my crack. What? My neck, my back, my pussy and my crack. Now, he doesn't do any butt stuff because, you know, we're the same age. And that's not what we do at this age. We were like, ew, why are you putting your mouth on that? Also... He didn't strangle me, nor did he spit upon me. So, you know, there's something to be said about having a guy who's your age making the laughs. And hopefully it'll happen again. I'm just on this trip right now where I'm just enjoying everything that I can, everywhere that I can, all the moments. I'm here. I'm present. I'm wiggling my toes right now. I hope you all are just fantastic. And I just want to thank you again for being here for me, for showing up for me, for reaching out to me, for all the love and support. I really couldn't do it without you. This is something that I love. I love that we all show up here together, and I love that we can have this every week. And I know you understand when I miss a week, because I never miss a week. She's a Capricorn. She can't miss work. And yeah, so more to come, Mordecai, and I cannot wait to continue this adventure, my Southwest adventure. And I did get on Route 66 last night, just so you know. Boom, 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 boom. Hey, have you heard the Chuck Berry song? Please listen to it. Gallop. Yeah, I've been having a lot of blessings since I've been here. All the blessings for all the stuff. And it's been hard and it's been easy and it's been great and it's been horrible and it's been hard. Like a big dick that waits for me back in New York City. Yeah. Hey, I think that's it, kids. 32 minutes. Oh, my. Oh, my. And I'm going to go have lunch. That's right. Time for lunch. I love you so much. Amazing. Amazing. I just got here. I just got here last night, and I'm so happy to be in a different mountain stranded time. Mountain stranded time, that's what they call it in New York. Where am I? In Jerome. All right, you guys, I love you so much for watching, for listening, for supporting, for loving, for all you do. Thank you so, so much. And I will see you next Tuesday. Yes. And please write me. Tell me what you'd like for me to talk about, any kind of stories that you want me to touch on. I am going to tell you I'm wearing earrings from Cosmic Healing Shop, Albuquerque, New Mexico. A strand of turquoise from Mama L. And damn, I hope y'all are feeling healthy and as blessed as you are. What was that? I've seen a lot of crows. And you just follow the where the crow flies. And I show you what Rainbow gave me. Tiger eye of heart. Tiger eye. All right. I love you guys so much. And I'll see you next Tuesday, okay? You take great care of yourselves. And yeah, don't do anything you don't want to do. And don't do anything that hurts you. Other than that, you're fucking killing it. And I love you and I'm proud of you. And I'll see you soon. Okay, bye. Love you. Bye. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Oh, yeah. What?